racism, journalism, hypnotism, terrorism. Where's the wisdom? They attacked the nations in Africa, made them catch their man-made AIDS with polio vaccinations, and they drank their Mitsubishi. Belief in mystic genius and watching TV distracts us from another Lisbon treaty. Planet permissions, this planet's position, brainwashed with religion to accept the fascist decisions. People panicking, no paladin, no patron saint, battling to stay awake, pineal gland cluttered by washing our water as a Celtic warrior, breaking every barrier. I was surprised when I realized if you believe a lie, then you can fill a lie detector like an actor in a part. Society's a stage, and the masters of the art are the laughter in the dark. Rest assured, we will not be terrorized, and this revolution will not be televised. What? Is Lucifer Jupiter? It's safe to say that many men have been murdered, including William Cooper, for gritting their teeth and killing the seeds of evil. These people scatter on the compost of false religious belief. It's not gonna stop by watching Tom for the Pulse. We need to bring cheese to this establishment, but not with the truck or a box, cause the ones at the top that are calling the shots like they've got it all locked. But my passion is burning like a Molotov cocktail, and my will to fight is still strong as an ox. Honestly, God, habits make a mind state. As you cut jobs and raise drug prices, it raises the crime rate. Freedom of speech means I can teach about the priest's reason to preach a fallacy that has me breathing the leaf of tobacco plants. But the truth is, there shouldn't be a they controlling each other. It's made the mess we see today.
I still have a dream to see past the stigmas and know what to really be free is.
I still have a dream.
I know you can't see this, but people, you got to believe it.
I still have a dream.
The secrets to know what to really be free is, so be it.
I still have a dream. This nation will rise up.
Global terror is here, but we're all blinded. Chameleon governments hold info, so we don't know they're behind it. Bright media lights shine, and all of our eyes run the edge. Exaggerate the problems of mankind. Now there's violence around us, no escaping its finders. Rebellion, martial law, and then they'll appoint us. Got a pain in my leg, must be my FEMA. Black blood being spilled over
Oscar Mayer Lima.
Can we just sit back and let this all happen? Like guards at the gate, the clock caught out napping. I invented a cure for cancer using radio waves, replacing chemical placebos with herbal remedies. Who let the dogs out? It turned into swine flu. It wasn't on the news, cause it wasn't supposed to. This is expression, revolutionary lyrical art. I'm Irish through and through, and I've got fire in my heart.
I'm a soldier, I told you. Bend you, then fold you. Knowledge is my burden, got a lot on my shoulders. Don't shoot the messenger, stay away. I'm telling you, listen if you like, but I'm not gonna yell at you. Blinded with money, I'm going green with envy. Dozing this corporate world, fucking torment you. Do you sometimes feel weak and empty? Do you think TV is there to help you? Working, sleeping, drinking, but nobody's living. Lab rats in the maze is the life we've been given. Hold up, I think I'm gonna sneeze. Did I say zeitgeist? Oops, there, I said it twice, nice. Yeah, this is a prank. My name is George Shank, and I work at the bank. I'll tell you everything, then I gotta catch a flight. I want this all in the open, in plain sight.
I still have a dream
to see past the secrets, to know what to really be free is.
I still have a dream.
I know you can't see this, but people, you got to believe it.
I still have a dream.
The secrets to know what to really be free is, so be it.
I still have a dream. This nation will rise up.
Cannabis blazes will rattle your cages. Truth like hot rocks burning holes in the pages. I'm working so hard trying to change tomorrow. I'm a fucking revolutionary like I'm Che Guevara. They try to use statutes to catch you, but a cop their plea bargain on the gospel of Mark. Making me swear on the book that preaches equality. I came from the clay, so you can't put laws on me. 8,000 years of Celtic mythology. I demand an apology. This farce makes a mockery of me, my mind, and my spirituality. My words are just as valid as anyone's actually. So what is reality? Somebody challenge me. That's your reality, fine. Don't interrupt mine. We write for the message and not for what sells. Ancient Irish knowledge straight out of the Book of Tales.
The Irish people, inherently and historically, opposed to secret societies, the secret oath, and the secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Good evening.
And good evening and welcome to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And welcome to Out of the Bag this week. And I'm very, very honoured to invite back to the show Ollie Damigard, who was on a recent show and it was really, really good. Had to invite him back. But on this week's show, we will be discussing celebrity deaths, the ins and outs of such deaths as those belonging to John Lennon, Bob Marley, Jimi Hendrix and Whitney Houston. Yes, indeed. So I will just basically call straight in and see if Ollie is with me. Ollie, are you there?
He is indeed.
Ah, great to hear you again, Ollie. Welcome to Out of the Bag.
Thank you so much, Sean.
You are more than welcome to come back to us with so much information. I was looking at your book, the Coup d'État. Can you say that for me, Ollie?
It's called Coup d'État.
Coup d'état.
In slow motion.
There you go.
It's a French word, coup d'état, but used in English as well.
For taking over.
Like a military takeover or a power takeover.
Absolutely. So we've got that wonderful book, which we're going to be able to get people to have a read of and have a look at on your website, etc. But first of all, should we maybe reintroduce you to maybe a few of the people that hadn't heard you on our show a couple of weeks ago? If you give us a little bit of background about yourself, Ollie, and then we'll get straight into some of these celebrity deaths that we all think by now are all linked.
But Sean, I was hoping to maybe get a poem first, number 23.
Really?
Okay. Can I have number 23?
You can, hang on, I'll just grab a book. I wasn't expecting that one. Hang on a second. Live radio, don't you just love it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, page what?
23.
Let me see what I have on page 23, 21, 22, 23. It's an old poem I wrote years ago when I was working in a factory. And it's called, Ollie, The Factory. And it goes like this. The factory is the place where the soap opera starts, where the radio blares out the hits from the charts, and everyone knows when someone else farts. It's depressing. It's repressing. It's the factory. The factory is the place where you really get on, as long as you're an arse licker and the boss is never wrong. And if you got half a brain, you really don't belong. It's demoralizing. It's not surprising. It's the factory. The factory is the place where life can be hell. You're there at a workstation, but it's really a cell. And prison is a simile that suits very well. When it's days, they seemed like ages. But hey, it paid the fecking wages. It's the factory. There you go.
Yay. I used to work in a factory for a couple of years, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Brilliant, brilliant. So I tell you what, you surprised me with that one, so thanks very much for that. wasn't expecting it. As everyone knows that hasn't... Well, maybe if there's some new listeners, they don't know that I'm a performing poet and not really a radio host, but 2 years of doing this now. Ollie, I think people are knowing me more for my radio show than they are for my poetry, sadly. Anyway, we shall move
what
on.
What can you do?
What can you do? Exactly, exactly. We've got to get the truth out somehow, don't we, hey?
Yeah, but I mean, you're combining the two, so that's excellent.
Brilliant. And do you want to hit us with any of your lyrics or poetry before we move on?
No, I don't write poetry. I read that song lyric in the other show, but that was just, I don't know, it was just because you said something about wake up, and I had the lyric lying around, but it was from a song from, I've done two CD, solo CDs, and it was from the title there.
All right, okay.
But if you want a background, my name is Ole Damigard, and I was born in Denmark in a family very much involved in the resistance movement against the Nazi occupation during the Second World War. My dad was in the fighting part. My granddad was in jail for helping Jews to Sweden. My grandmother and her sister was smuggling weapons to the underground movement and so on. So I really grew up with all of these stories about the importance of standing up, even though you're like David and Goliath. Mm. And then when I was a kid, we moved to Sweden. And I started, one of my first jobs there was as a journalist. And I did that for some years. And then when I was about in the early 1980s, I started becoming very, very interested in the JFK assassination. This was way, way before the JFK movie and so on. It was like, at that time, I was the only one I knew that was interested in any way or form. And, but I became almost obsessed about trying to find out what had happened, because it's an incredibly intricate and multi-layered conspiracy. Absolutely incredible story. The more you get into it, and that's also why, I mean, 50 years down the road, it's still, there's so much mystery surrounding it. But that took me into this world of conspiracies, and I really digged into it very, very deeply, and I started becoming more and more interested in assassinations like the one on Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Abraham Lincoln, and so on. And then in 1986, the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, was shot dead in the streets of Stockholm. And before that, I'd come to a point where it was almost like I started seeing a template they were using to carry these political assassinations out on a very high level. And I managed to track that template back all the way to Roman times. You know, they use a lot of these Roman tactics, but in a high-tech form. And when I started seeing how these things were carried out, at that point I had no idea that they were connected. Absolutely not. I thought they were totally separate incidents. It was just that I was dedicated to finding out the truth behind these things.
Yes. So the template that goes back to the Roman times, I mean, it could possibly go back even further, but that's where you've researched it back to, and you think that most, if not all, of the assassinations have been pretty much to that template ever since.
No, they used these tactics because the Romans were really clever when it came to how to control a population without them understanding that they were controlled, yeah. How to get rid of enemies without either the enemy or their own population or the population of both countries understanding what had actually happened, and so on and so, and how to dupe the population into accepting more and more control and more and more violent behavior from their emperor. So they set the rules, and they have used them ever since because they're so, so good at it. Or tactics were excellent, absolute excellent. And it's just, we've seen them now the last 100 years in many different shapes and forms, but it's the same basic that are behind many, many of these assassinations, many, many of these so-called terror acts, many, many of these false flag operations and so on. I tell you, once you start seeing how they do it, how they pull it off, you will see it on almost a weekly basis now, because they're this power elite that I've been tracking down. We're going to go more into details about that. But they're getting quite desperate at the moment, and they're trying to pull a lot of false flag operations on us to sort of get us into the corral.
And do you think the desperation is due to, you know, people like Kevin Annett and the work they're doing in the common law courts and the various people who are being fingered and pointed out as criminals within the world that we live in?
That is only you see that the surface has started to crack around them, but it's due to researchers that have dedicated their lives to exposing this, and many of them have given their lives as well. I have two friends who are not with us anymore. Mm. I also had to leave Sweden because I was getting threatened and so on. So it's taken like many, many years of, I tell you, blood, sweat and tears to get to this point where suddenly they're not untouchables anymore. And and also to get this incredible awakening that is going on at the moment, which is absolutely wonderful to see, I think.
It absolutely is. I mean, I was listening to somebody on another show, and they were saying that it's a little bit like, you know, the owners of a large, like, let's use the analogy of the factory, okay? Seeing as we did that poem at the beginning, Ollie, it's like the owners of the factory, the main bods, the main heads, the people that run it and employ all the employees of that factory, knowing their time is up, knowing that it's going to end, knowing that it's gone, but they don't tell the people on the shop floor. The shop floor people carry on their jobs as though nothing has gone wrong because they haven't been told that anything is going wrong. And really that's what was explained to me and via this show, that these people are the minions, the military matrix, all the different people, the police forces, the account, you know, counts, the judiciary and the politicians in various countries are all unaware that the whole thing is crumbling around them, but they'll soon find out when they're shown the door.
It's, I think the image of a factory is a very good way of describing it, because the way they see it is like a company, multinational. This is way beyond national borders. The way they, when I say they, we're talking about this global elite that we're going to get into a lot today, I think. But they try to run this world and turn it into like a company, where they just, they're there to totally exploit it, and totally just any people they don't need, they'll just get rid of, sack, fire, kill, and the rest used as slaves, more or less. And then they are like a small elite few that is running this company very ruthlessly and in total control. But just like you say, what is happening now is that the top is so incredibly corrupt, and they've been able to get away with this for such a long time because they have eliminated so many of their enemies on their way to get to this power position, because they had worked for so many years to centralize the power to fewer and fewer, and in all areas of society and in most Western countries especially. But now, thanks to Kevin Arnett and other people like that, these courts are starting to put the spotlight right at them. Also, all this incredible research that have been done for so many years are exposing them, because they've been able to get away with this for decades just because they've been hiding in the dark. And once you start seeing the whole power structure and how they're connected through groups like the Bilderberg Group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Committee of 300 and so on, once you start see how they are like these Freemasonry networks working behind the scene, that's when you start be able to connect the dots that normally you would have no idea that these things are connected. And the area where I put 30 years of my life into is to expose the template and the assassinations, the terror acts, and how they're actually so many of them are connected by, I mean, we're talking even the same mechanics in many of these occasions.
When I started looking into these,
I had absolutely no idea that they were connected. It was first after so many years of deep research that the dots started connecting, and on a very high level, and pointing straight back to the same group of people. A very small group of people, actually. It's only a couple of thousand.
So if that's the case, then it shouldn't take us long. It shouldn't take many more years. It should be very soon that the global media, if you like, are going to have to just face it. The mainstream media are just going to have to face it and start admitting who and why people are being controlled.
It's the main media is owned by them, yeah. And it's not a coincidence that they have not reported about these things, because a lot of this information has been out there for so many years. It's been out there big time, but in main media, just nothing. And that's due to the ownership of the media today. I mean, main media today is more or less totally controlled by this small group through ownership and international connections and so on. So the main media, I would say you can't count on them at all at the moment. You need to go to alternative media programs like this and so on to get real information, or underground movements, or through the internet and so on.
Absolutely. I mean, we're hoping that this is going to start, you know, making sure that people who do hear the little bit of truth and then listen into radio stations like ours, they're going to realize that the mainstream media is lying to them, and maybe they should have a different source of information.
Do you know the word government? You know the meaning of that?
Yeah, yeah. Mind control, in fact.
It means literally mind control. And this is the way it's being used. They're there. In a democracy, I mean, in a democracy, the whole idea is that the will comes from the people and they carry it out. But they turn the whole thing around saying it's their will and they'll just push us into it. So it's a matter of turning the whole thing around the way it should be, get back in balance and harmony and so on.
Do you think there are enough people, Ollie, who are becoming aware and awake? I mean, I know it's exciting times and we definitely are getting through to more and more people. But do you think... Do you think there are enough of us?
There are like 2,000 and we are 7 billion, Sean. 7 billion. So that we are in this situation is an absolute joke and disgrace. And I mean, come on, folks. It's time to wake up.
But out of that 7 billion, Ollie, I mean, how many are actually awake and aware and ready to rock and roll with a real future of our planet?
But it really, if there are 2,000, it should be enough with a couple of thousand of us. But it's not. It's because they have infiltrated the whole system so that they control so many different areas. But most of these people are old guys and white hair, you know. It's like...
Have they got any young ones coming? Have they got any young ones coming through, Ollie?
Sorry?
Have they got any young ones coming through to take over the mantle, to take over the reins?
Of course they have. To keep it in their own families, and new generations are coming up. But that also, there's this power struggle at the moment where new generations are starting to take over and so on. But I tell you, these people live in shark waters because the methods they use are so violent and so deceiving, deceitful, and so I don't envy them because they're gonna kill each other, you know.
Okay.
On the way there.
Well, listen, I've got a question straight away from Dee Greer in the chat room. He's saying, "Where does government mean mind control? What language?"
It's Latin. It's in Spanish, for instance. I live in Spain. Gobernante, it means control the mind. Control mind, not the mind. Control mind. Gobernante.
Okay, so there you go, Dee. Hopefully that answers your question, and I've heard it many, many times, and I've...
To the old Romans.
Yeah, I definitely looked it up, and it was, I think it was Latin, but I haven't got the facility
to... It is Latin,
yes. Yes.
So, I tell you, I believe that we are beyond the tipping point. There's, on my website, lightandconspiracies.com, if you take on the first page and you scroll down to the bottom, it says, there's this beautiful video of how a natural movement is started. I don't know if you've seen that.
Uh-huh, yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes, yes.
It's from a rock concert where first there's one, like a lone crazy guy stands up dancing, and then everybody's pointing fingers, but then after a few minutes, he starts being joined by other people. And within, I tell you, it only takes 2-3 minutes after the people start getting up there, then the whole place is rocking.
Those ripples from that one energetic soul just rippled out to the rest of the people.
Yeah, and I believe that we're beyond the tipping point now. Because they've been able to get away with all of these things because... like I mentioned, they've been hiding in the dark and like a hidden hand behind the veils of the power and deceit, you know. But now the veil is gone and the spotlight is straight on them saying, we see you, you know, we know what you're doing. We know what you're up to.
It's a little bit like what's going on now with in Palestine. You know, you have three kidnapped, murdered boys or whatever that obviously... it wasn't a Palestinian out of the Gaza Strip that did anything to it or get there or anything, but there you go. They've blamed Palestine for it and now they're bombing the hell out of the place, killing men, women and children on a daily basis.
This is why I'm saying it is a disgrace that we are so asleep, because people are getting slaughtered by the day. innocent people. It might as well be you and me and our children. But just because we are getting, letting them get away because we're so asleep, all these people are getting murdered and tortured, and countries, innocent countries are being raped and invaded. And, you know, it's not okay. And we need to stop this now. We really, it's high time.
And I think on all levels, Ollie, if we see anything wrong going on, you know, we should just point it out and keep pointing it out. And really on a radio show or a station like this, that's all we're doing. We're pointing it out. We're showing it. And as soon as people see it and look and do their own research, things will magically change. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to, before we start talking about these different celebrities that we definitely would like to go into the different ways and whether they fit the template that you were talking about earlier, I was really, really happy to, if anyone out there hasn't heard John McCann, John McSee, back on online recently. He had a heart attack and has overcome that, and he's now getting better, and he's had a stent fitted and all the rest of it, and we wish him all great health. But I wrote a little poem really inspired by his work on this radio station. Ollie, would you like to hear it?
Please.
Right, it's not in my book, of course, because I only wrote it the other day. But it's an ode to John McSee, and he's been an absolute inspiration to me and to anybody that listens to his shows. I encourage it when he's back on air properly. Hopefully Saturday nights is where he used to be. But he just spoke such sense, common sense, and it was lovely to hear and a joy to behold. So I've written this little ditty. So here it goes. We have all been guilty of things in the past. That guilt must now be gone. It's time to look around your world to see what's really going on. Opinions and individual tastes must be left upon the shelf. The ending of wars and of corporate whores is up to one's own self. We know what's wrong. We know what's right. There is no argument. Yet we allow what's wrong to keep going on by supporting government. They work for us, not the other way round. Yet look what they are doing. When enough of us have a real good look, they'll see the revolution that is brewing. And it's brewing here. This is Talk and Tea with John McSee, and I'm hoping he likes that. It basically is up to us. When we find out the truth, Ollie, it's exactly what you're doing. You've researched, you've done your work, you've delved into it, and you're now, if you like, an expert on specific, what they would call out there, conspiracy theories. You know, obviously the different templates, the same template rather, being used on all the different assassinations and the false flags and all the rest of it. And really it's up to us then to make sure you have a platform to get that word out.
That's very kind of you, Sean. I would like to just correct, I'm not an expert on conspiracy theories. I'm an expert on conspiracies. Major difference.
They
did that on purpose after the Kennedy assassination. They added in media the word theories. And every time you add that word, you add a doubt, okay. You know. And so now we've been so bombarded with this thing. So when you say conspiracy, everyone will say in their mind, theory.
Okay.
They just combine the two words. But I'm not talking about conspiracy theories. I'm only interested in conspiracy facts.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, I've just put your website into the chat room. It's www.lightonconspiracies.com, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a very handpicked domain name, Light on Conspiracies, because I'm not here to spread fear or hate or anger in any way. I'm here to do everything I can to fearlessly, totally expose what is going on by sending the light into the dark, dark corners. And by doing it that way, hopefully help to make it stop.
Well, I tell you what, Ollie, you wouldn't be on this show a second time if all you did was spout fear. And that solutions are what we're looking for. And part of the solution is learning the knowledge of what's going on. And I think that's the main issue. At the moment, is that we need as many, many people to wake up to what's really going on as possible.
Hear, hear.
So, shall we move into having a look at the Bob Marley, Whitney Houston, John Lennon, Jimi Hendrix situation?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. Is there a specific one you want to start with? And also, whilst I advertised our show, and told people that these were the four, if you like, famous celebrity deaths that we were going to talk about, lots of people were saying, Whitney Houston, why are you talking about that? Was one big load of feedback I got. And the other one was, you know, what about all the rest of them? What about the Jim Morrisons? What about the Kurt Cobains? What about this, and this? So they all have their individual loves of their music, obviously, and they were trying to get more information. But if we'll stick to the four, shall we?
Let's stick to the four, and then, because it spreads out as well, but it's like once you start seeing how they're carried out and so on, you will also see a lot of parallels with other assassinations and strange murders. I mean, some people have just been straight forward murdered, like I would say Kurt Cobain, where his wife is very deeply involved in that murder, but I have not been able to find, that it was somehow connected to the global elite. It was, as far as I know, more for private gains for her part and on her part and so on.
Okay.
But the other people I'm talking about here are in a different league when it comes to that, because their deaths were done to get rid of them, to stop who they were, to stop what they stood for, because many of the people that have so tragically been taken out over so many years are beautiful people who are standing up for all of these wonderful things that we worship, you know, like peace, love, understanding, harmony, unity, beyond, above and beyond color and races and so on. And this is exactly why they become a major threat to this global elite, because their agenda is total death and destruction and control. So it's like when somebody is getting it famous enough so that millions of people start listening to them, that's when they become a threat. And this is the case with Mahatma Gandhi, John Lennon, Bob Marley, Lady Diana, and so on. With Whitney Houston, it was a different, there was a different reason behind why she was taken out. But to get a better understanding of this, I would like, if it's okay with you, just to go back a bit in history and give a little background information about a special team of assassins that have been used for decades.
Please do. We'd like to hear it.
Okay, in the late 50s, early 1960s, the American president Dwight Eisenhower approved of, it was not his plan, but he approved of a plan to put together a team of top assassins. This group was given the name Operation 40. It was not because they were 40 members, they were more or less 80, 86 most of the time. But what he did, Eisenhower, was that the task was given to his vice president, Richard Nixon, at that time. This was before the JFK assassination in 63. So Richard Nixon got a man by the name of George Herbert Walker Bush. That's George Bush Sr. Mm-hmm. He was given the task to become the paymaster of this team of assassins. And they hired a team of hardened CIA veterans, like Ted Shackley, the Blonde Ghost, David Attlee Phillips, who was later the controller of Lee Harvey Oswald, the Patsy and the JFK assassination, and many, many other. And E. Howard Hunt, who was also very central in the JFK assassination, and many, many, many more assassinations globally. He was also one of the Watergate burglars. We're going to get into the Watergate burglar as well. But these CIA officers had been hardened and tried out in Guatemala and many other countries, Iran and so on, where they had got rid of the local president and put the CIA-sponsored regime in and so on. So they knew what the whole game was about. And at that point, they had a major problem with Fidel Castro, who had just taken over Cuba. Now, Cuba at that time was, before Fidel Castro, it was an absolute haven when it came to gambling and drugs and black money for the government and for the mob and for the whole global elite that had connections in all different areas, you know, the military industrial complex, the oil industry, big pharma, you name it there. But it was, as far as I've been able to find out, it was the size, the gambling that was going on Cuba were the size of, if you put Las Vegas and Atlantic City together on that little island. So you can imagine the amount of money in the late 50s that was being generated there. Mm-hmm. Also, Cuba was being used for drugs. You know that the planes landed on Cuba before they entered into the state. So it was like a middle stop on the way. And so when the so-called the beard, Fidel Castro, came and just said, listen, you're out. We're going to throw all foreign interests out from this island, and we're going to make the whole of Cuba totally national. All the companies, all the resources, everything back to the people. That really got a lot of people very, very upset. Mm. So with this Operation 40, the first task that they were given were to recruit mostly exiled Cubans that had escaped from Cuba when Fidel Castro took over. And these were mostly former military people from the Air Force, from police, the police force, secret agents from the Batista regime, and so on. And they were recruited in Miami. Then once they were part of Operation 40, they were being trained in Louisiana, Miami,